Access Show.
Touchdown, Tampa Bay!
On your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WTE and US 103.5. Here's your host, Dave Moore.
Welcome to the Total Access Show. Bucks back in town again this week coming up after two games on the road. Tough one yesterday, and my guest today, safety Sean Jones, who had a big day. Pretty active, especially against the run. He got to tackle a couple big guys. Welcome, Sean.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, I saw you hit Turner on one coming up full speed, and then you hit Anthony Gonzalez. How you feeling?
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good, you know, despite being on that hard turf or, you know, for a hard-fought game. You know, they went four quarters. So, you know, I'm feeling pretty good. And, you know, we watched the film today and looked at our mistakes and, you know, but we went out there and fought hard. We fought hard. And, you know, we just got to go out there and get Carolina next week.
Yeah, what did Raheem say when he came into the, you know, the media after the game? He said there's no moral victory. But when you have a young football team, you know, your coach comes out and says, yeah, we're the best team in the NFC. Now you go out there and you play somebody who has the same record. And to be right there at the end, even though you didn't win it, I mean, that's got to do something for your confidence. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, I think, you know, as a young team, you know, that was a good Falcon team yesterday. You know, they've been together for, you know, for a couple of years. You know, Matty Ice has been throwing the ball well. You know, Turner's been running the ball well. So for us to go out there on the road, you know, in a hostile environment to do that, you know, it's okay. You know, it's okay for us, but because we're a young team. But we always want that win. You know, we want to go. We'd rather be 6-2 than 5-3 right now. So we definitely looked at the film, and we just need to keep doing what we're doing, keep fighting, and we're going to be okay, you know, towards the end of the season.
And that was the message that he gave today in the meeting?
Oh, yeah.
Raheem?
Yeah, definitely.
He said to the team.
He just said, just keep fighting, just keep rolling, and, you know, just go out here and practice well this week. You know, we have a Carolina team that runs the ball well, so we're going to be prepared for that, you know, and try to get the quarterback, you know, on third downs. That really kind of hurt us, you know, last week in Atlanta, our third down, you know, percentage. So
right.
We're going to try to, you know, continue to work on that and just keep getting better.
But Atlanta, you got to give them credit. I mean, it's not like they came out. You guys are still right there at the end of the game. You lost the turnover battle, and stats say, hey, you're not going to win a lot of games on the road. But yet there you are at the end, and they didn't make a lot of mistakes. It's not like they gave, you know, the Bucks an opportunity to sneak back into the game. What's the key for that answer in that third down? Is it just forcing the third and long, or is it getting pressure regardless of what third down situation? What is the answer to solving it?
You know, definitely you want to win first and second down. You know, that make teams one-dimensional on third down. You know, you want to make them, you know, third and long so you can, you know, kind of get up your blitzes or get whatever, you know, scheme-wise you want to do against the opponent. So, you know, first and second down is very important, you know, stopping the run. And, you know, Atlanta did a great job moving the ball down the field, you know.
To keep those third downs
exactly.
Manageable, yeah.
You know, so we're just going to keep grinding, keep fighting, and, you know, it was a loss, but we learned a lot from it.
We saw you blitz last week against Arizona. You had a big hit on the quarterback, and which led to the interception for a touchdown. And this week we saw you more down around the line of scrimmage. Now, before that, we haven't, you know, the guy we usually see coming off the edge is Rondé, but mm-hmm. traditionally strong safety is that guy.
Right.
I mean, why is it that, you know, are you doing something different now? I mean, why are we seeing you down around the line of scrimmage more?
You know, Rondé, you know, for the last, you know, however many years, been getting a lot of pressure from the secondary position. You know, coaches kind of dialed up a couple of bits for him the last couple of weeks. And, you know,
Smack, is that the name of it?
Yeah, Smack.
We heard him talk about it on the way out.
And, you know, it definitely was, you know, successful for us, you know, getting some penetration behind on their side of the line of scrimmage. So, you know, we'll see what's to come, but, you know, we definitely want to be aggressive as a secondary, you know, around the line of scrimmage as well.
Also, with run support, you know, and I'm asking from an offensive guy's perspective, you know, when you think of strong safety, he's kind of your run support guy, but yet we see Cody Grimm coming down to support the run, and then when Rondé's blitzing, is that a corner blitz, or is he coming in as kind of the nickel safety guy?
Yeah. You know, Rondé comes on, you know, blitzes.
Is that a corner blitz, though, when he comes, or is that something that's just designed for him and it's not really designated per position?
Yeah, it's a nickel blitz, you know, like any nickel blitz. And, you know, he disguises so well, you know, he kind of has the quarterback confused. And like you mentioned, Cody, he's been doing a great job, you know, coming down in the box, making big plays, making big tackles for us.
So when he comes down, where do you go, the deep middle to not give up the big play, or Does that work? Well, obviously it's a run, so you're coming up as well, but right. You're a little bit slower just to make sure play actions, things like that.
It's all depending on, you know, this league, you have a lot of fast receivers that can get down the field quick, and, you know, it's a lot of play action. So you definitely want to have a guy, you know, secure in the deep end of the field at all times, so they won't have that quick, easy strike down the field that kills, you know, defenses all the time.
Right. Now, how hard is it when they're running the football to stay back there because it makes you more susceptible to that play action?
You know,
or do you have a tendency to want to just stay back, or do you want to get back up in there or what?
Well, I mean, I try to go out there, you know, and play and just read my keys and go out there and just play, you know, fundamental football. But, you know, at times, you know, you kind of want to stick your head in there, you know, and see what's going on in the run. But you never can do that because that's the guys you see on ESPN and Sports Center, you know, getting the big balls thrown behind their head. So,
right.
You know, you definitely want to, you know, stop the run. But at the same time, you can't let, you know, offenses get quick strikes on you.
Right. Now, when you say reading keys, you know, in a run game, you know, you're the safety. So you're back there. You know, linebackers will read stances of offensive linemen and the backs out of the back. What kind of stuff do you look at from back there?
Well, most of the time as a safety, we're looking at either the tight end, a fullback, or tailback. You know, most of the time, 99% of the time, I say the tight end gives away running pass for us, you know, because most of the time, you know, he has hard hands. You know, he's trying to run block. And, you know, when he's on the route, he's trying to get on his route. He's trying to catch the ball. So, as a safety, our key most of the time is a tight end or a fullback, you know, along that line.
It's funny you say that because as a tight end, I played tight end for a long time.
Yeah.
I always looked at you guys as strong safety to see what the coverage was, whether you guys were blitzing, whether you weren't. And when you cover man-to-man, do you normally cover a tight end? Is that, you know, if you get in a man situation, is that the guy you cover?
It depends. All depends.
I spent all my day looking at guys like you. It's funny. I should have asked that back when I was playing. It probably would have helped me out. Right?
It just all depends on what the call is. Most of the time, safeties, you know, they cover the tight end or running back. You know, sometimes during blitzes, we might recover a receiver once in a while. But, you know, most of the time, it's a tight end.
Well, what do you prefer to do most? I mean, I know, you know, every guy at his position, there's something that he likes to do. Do you like to blitz, or do you rather like to play – would rather play softer and have the opportunity to deliver that big hit or – you know, what's your favorite thing to do at safety? Don't tell me everything because there's got to be something you really like.
That's what I'm saying. Honestly, you know, a safety is a very interchangeable position. You know, you can play – you have some safeties that stay around the line of scrimmage more. You have some safeties that play deeper in the back end. And you have some safeties just, you know, great cover guys and want to lock up the tight ends. But, you know, you're going to get mad at me, but I want to do all of that. You know, I want to be involved, you know, in the whole game.
You know,
but when you think about it, that helps with disguise. You know,
sure,
a quarterback doesn't know if I'm going back into coverage, or if I'm blitzing, or if I'm dropping in, you know, shorter coverages. So, you know, it helps that, you know, with disguise, that safeties can move around a little bit. You know, as long as you know linebackers are in the same court and their cornerbacks.
Did you guys spend a lot of time trying to disguise your coverages? You know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
Like, a lot of times you want to give a certain look, so they send a protection one way, and then right before snap you shift so somebody will come free. Do you guys spend a lot of time trying to find ways to disguise what you're really doing?
Definitely, because, you know, as you know, on the offensive side of the ball, quarterbacks are in the film room, you know, 7 days, all day, you know, looking
it's
at
ridiculous.
Film, breaking down film.
Every situation.
Every situation. So, you know, definitely if we – disguise it, you know, try to show a little something different to the quarterback that may get his, you know, his progressions off, and hopefully, you know, our rush can get up there to him. So, you know, it works in the core. It all works in the same, you know, line. So we all need to go and practice and just keep continuing to get better and better and just continue to work to, you know, win those 10 games that we, you know, we set for our goal in the beginning of the season.
Well, you're listening to Sean Jones. If you want to give us a call tonight, ask him a question, give a comment about the game. Hillsboro, numbers, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll free, 800-546-4620 and 800-596-BUCKS-2827. Now, Raheem Morris is obviously defensive coordinator, but was a DB coach. Does he spend a lot of time in your meeting room doing stuff with you guys as defensive backs?
You know, most of the time, Raheem, he's in and out, you know, of all the meeting rooms. But, you know, he does poke his head, you know, in the room and, you know, give us great, you know, reminders and tips, you know, on this defense that we're running. And Jimmy Lake, our DB coach, along with, you know, Stuckey, our defensive back coach, is doing a great job as far as us in the secondary, you know, making the plays back there. So, you know, we're all excited about, you know, what opportunity we have with Carolina next week coming in, and we're just going to go out there and try to have a win.
Now, you're considered a veteran guy on this team, and, you know, it's your seventh year. You have a guy like Rondé, you know. Do you learn things from him, or do you guys spend time together watching? The reason I ask, we had him on last week. He played his 200th game. So, but he's a guy that obviously has seen every look possible, and you've seen it quite a few. But do you take things from him, or do you guys help each other out?
Oh, definitely. You know, you know, if you play well in this league, you know, you're blessed and fortunate to play, you know, 5+ years, you know, much alone 7 to 14, you know, with Rondé. So, you know, he's played a lot of football. You say he's, you know, started his 200th games, and that's, you know, that's amazing to play this sport, you know, how physical it is. And he just brings a lot of knowledge and a lot of, you know, just plays and wisdom to the game, you know, for us in the defensive back room.
Who do you watch around the league? Like, I know if I was having trouble with a certain block, I would watch film, and I think that's what makes players stay around for a long time. Mm-hmm. I mean, if there's some area of your game you're trying to improve, you watch somebody that's good at it, you know, watch his steps, his hands. Who do you like to watch that plays your position that you, you know, take them some things from?
Well, just first coming to mind, I think of Troy Polamalu and Ed Reed. You know, just because we, you know, we played those guys in Cleveland. When I played in Cleveland for 5 years, you know, we played them twice a year, each team twice a year. And just, you know, the amount of plays they make, you know, year in after year in, you know, just going out there making plays on the high level, you know, interception, you know, tackles for losses, you know, you name it, they're out there making plays each and every week. So, you know, I want to kind of, you know, as a rookie coming in and just, you know, watching those guys, I want to kind of emulate those guys. And just come out and just make plays like them. And, you know, for the most part, I've been doing it, and I just want to continue doing that.
And in their systems of defense, are their responsibilities a lot different than yours in general? I mean, you're talking 3-4 defense versus, you know, 4-3. But are the basic responsibilities the same?
You know, there's a lot of similarities, but at the same time, there's a lot of differences, you know, in coverage and, you know, the run fits and run gaps and just the whole schematics of the whole defense when you have a 3-4 defense versus the 4-3. So, you know, like I said, those guys make a lot of plays. And, you know, it's a very physical division up there. And, it's just fun watching those guys, you know, in their late 20s, early 30s out there still making plays.
Yeah, it's funny to watch them because it looks like they're doing their own thing half the time. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just pulling the trigger and running. And especially Ed Reed, I mean, he's a guy that – first, he just is all over the place. Now, when you were in Philly, you came to us from Philly. We could probably spend a lot of time on Philly. You know, Buck people aren't too fond of the Philly people. But we'll talk about the defense first before we talk about the town of Philadelphia. How different are your responsibilities? You know, that's more of what they call, in our opinion, from offensive terminology, like that feast or famine defense. Mm-hmm. You know, they all out blitz, but if you hit them, you're going to get a big play rather than more of the Tampa 2 where you do, you know, more conservative coverages where you take your pick and choose your shots.
Right.
You know, are your responsibilities a lot different, and which one do you like better?
You know, both of them have, you know, great playmaking potential. Both defenses does. And Philly, you know, like you said, you know, it's feast or famine. You know, they like to blitz a lot. They have guys coming from everywhere, linebacker positions, you know, safeties, corners. So it's a lot of, you know, blitz and replace as far as, you know, if your cornerback blitz, your safety has to be over top of them, you know, reading the quarterback eyes and stuff. So, you know, it's a lot of, it's a lot of risk, but it's a lot of reward, you know, with that defense. And Tampa, you know, the years past has been, you know, great, you know, with Lynch and those guys, you know, just being the dominant defense and playing. So, you know, I think both defenses, you can be successful in this league.
Well, I agree. I mean, I think it would be more fun to play and to take in chances because you have opportunities to get cheap sacks, cheap interceptions. But then, you know, you look at the defense this year and at the top of the league in interceptions, just playing fundamentally sound. You know, one's scheme versus fundamentals and offense and defense, and you have to choose which way you want to win. But it had to be a lot of fun playing in that Philly defense when you have an opportunity to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it was fun. You know, the atmosphere, the crowd, you know, was, you know, they were making a lot of, you know, a lot of noise. But, you know, I'm here in Tampa now, and I'm loving, you know, our jump start, our fresh start for this year. And, you know, we're halfway to the season, so I just want to keep going and getting better and just making this team, you know, get better and make more wins.
Well, we're going to take a break. We'll give you the phone numbers. We'll come back, talk a little bit about the jail that they have. Do they have a jail in the new stadium? We'll get to that when we get back over in Philly. Phone numbers, Hillsborough, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll free, 800-546-4620. And 800-596-BUCKS, 2827. Give us a call here on the Total Access Show. This is the Buccaneer Radio Network.
Total Access returns on 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of the Buccaneers.
Welcome back to the Total Access Show. My guest, Sean Jones. We were talking about the lovely city of Philadelphia. But we won't, you know, talk too much about it, but obviously the Bucs have a lot of history against Philadelphia, and, you know, we went up there for a couple playoff games, and ultimately the Bucs had success. The big thing, though, is the fans. You know, they're pretty brutal. How are they to the home team? I mean, they're pretty loyal fans, or they turn on you, or what?
You know, if you're winning, they're loyal. And, you know, if they're losing, they'll let you know. So, you know, that's how it goes in this league.
Well, I grew up in New Jersey, and every time they came to Philly for a game, I mean, you know, people threatened to beat them up, and they couldn't even wear the Bucs stuff. And we know the old – I asked you off the air about the jail and the stadium. You know, they had a – in the old one, they had, you know, jail and a magistrate, and they just ran people right through the process right in the stadium. You know, that's something that's obviously tells you a little bit of something about the fans up there.
Yeah, they're rough. You know, I seen plenty of fights in, like, right behind our bench up there in Philly. And it's just, you know, funny how passionate they are about, you know, the city and, you know, their sports.
Do you see the movie Invincible?
No, with, I haven't seen that.
Mark Wahlberg. I can't even say his name.
Was
anyway.
It pretty good?
Yeah, it was. It was about a guy that, you know, when way back when, a guy from the local community came and made the team as a special team player. I can't even think of his name now. But, you know, they just kind of showed how the fans were and how they'd boo him and everything else. Anyway, special teams. You know, this leads me to your time in Philly. You led the team in special teams tackles. Yeah, how much has that been part of your role here in Tampa? Has Bisaccia recruited? You had that body type, and what I mean by body type is safeties, linebackers, you know, 6'1", 220, they can run, but they can block and do a lot of things. What kind of role do you have right now special teams?
I play, you know, on the punt team and, you know, field goal block, you know. You know, putting the ball is the first you know, opportunity, first play on defense.
Get you tired before you start, right? Because you got to cover the punt for 50 yards.
Yeah, but, you know, you never, as a defensive player, want to start, you know, on your side of the field. So the punt team is, you know, very important in football, you know, on any level.
No kickoff. They didn't rope you in the kickoff?
No, I'm not on kickoff.
No?
Yeah, maybe.
What did you think of the onside kick?
What
did you think of the call?
I think it was a great call. You know, I think it was a great call. You know, our kicker recovered it. You know, I don't think
how many times in a week do they work on that stuff?
They work on it. You know, we work on it. You know, you want to perfect your craft, so you know, you work on it each and every day. And I thought it was a great kick and a great recovery, but you know, the referee said it, that he touched it before 10 yards, so you know, you got to go with that.
Well, they initially gave it to him, and it has to be, like, you know, indisputable evidence to overturn it. And he came out of the, you know, from under the hood pretty quick. So, you know, we thought it was very clear, but everything that we've seen on the replay, it didn't seem very clear at all.
Yeah, but, you know, you win some, you lose some, you know, and those challenges and stuff. So we got to just keep playing as a player.
I agree. Well, we're going to go to the phones. You ready for the phones? We have Greg in St. Pete. You're on with Sean Jones.
Thank you for taking my call. Sean, you're doing a great job on the Bucs, and I appreciate you taking my call. I had a question. It seems like in the second half, you guys are changing up defense. Is it cover? I think it was cover two, then you went to man-to-man against Atlanta. Is that something you kind of choose as the game progresses, or something you see that you can change?
Yeah, we kind of, you know, saw that there was, you know, kind of attacking our zone. You know, he'll drop back with a quick five-step drop, and, you know, it's kind of picking up part of our zone, you know, as well as running the ball. So we kind of want to put some pressure on him, you know, change the man-to-man, which, you know, kind of helped us out in the second half.
Yeah.
What kind of adjustments did you guys make at halftime? You know, first half, I mean, they pretty much were pretty balanced moving the ball down the field. And in the second half, you guys were able to stop them and gave your offense a chance to come back. What kind of – did you make adjustments at halftime?
Yeah, like I said, you know, in the first half, we was kind of playing zone and, you know, it was kind of picking our zones, you know, with those quick passes. So, you know, the second half, when halftime, we said we're going to play man and start trying to pressure them with blitzes. So, you know, that kind of helped us out, you know, in the second half of the game. And, you know, we're just going to keep trying to get better, you know, and pull that one out next time.
Now, is that where we started seeing, you know, some more guys coming free? We saw it right before the half, you know, and that's obviously, you mentioned earlier, you want to get in third and long situations so you can do some funky stuff against protection. We saw some of that, and then into the second half. Is that, you know, how you got to that? Because you guys decided to blitz?
Yeah.
Is that what did it?
Right before the half, you know, we started seeing a little bit of progress, you know, with our blitzes. And you know, we just wanted to just keep that going. You know, whatever momentum we try to get, you know, we try to keep that momentum going. And, you know, I think it was a total team effort for us to get back in the game. You know, in the fourth quarter, Spurlock had a lot of good, you know, good returns and great catches down the sideline, you know, that kind of boosted us. So we just need everybody in our locker room, you know, to go out there and make plays to help us try to win, you know, each and every game we play.
If you want to join us on the phones, phone number is Hillsborough, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll free, 800-546-4620 and 800-596-BUCKS, 2827. Go back. We have Brooks in St. Pete.
How's it going, guys?
Good. How you doing, Brooks?
Oh, not bad. Real quick, nobody really ever says it, but Dave Moore, pleasure to talk to you, man. Long time fan of yours,
buddy.
For the Bucks.
I appreciate
it. Sean, glad to see you here in pewter and red instead of that green. I'm not going
to
make any more comments. I'll just say that.
I'm glad to be here. I appreciate it.
Wanted to know when, you know, Tanaj Jackson, man, great talent. I hope he straightens up and just, you know, gets his stuff together in the off season, this season, whatnot. It seems like the first, you know, couple games we were giving up the long ball quite a bit. And then it seems like maybe the last couple games, it seems like we've tightened that up a little bit. Does that have a lot to do with you and Cody getting to kind of on the same page? Or is it, you know, I don't know. It's just kind of an observation I made. And the last thing I'll say is, you know, we've had three losses this year. But by far yesterday, I you guys played your butts off, man. I don't really consider that a loss. The other two, those were kind of not fun to watch, but you guys really played a really good game yesterday. I'm really proud of you guys. I'll hang up and listen.
Well, yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, we, you know, went out there and tried to pull a close one out in Atlanta yesterday. You know, unfortunately, we didn't bring it home, but, you know, we learned a lot from that game. And, you know, we're excited about Carolina coming in next week. But, you know, to Tanard and Cody and myself, you know, Tanard was a great, you know, was a great talent for us. You know, he was back there. He was one of our leaders, you know, in the secondary room. And, you know, we're going to miss him, you know, from a lot of plays this year. But, you know, those first couple games, you know, we're all trying to, you know, get accustomed to playing with each other. You know, you know, it really isn't excuses that why we didn't make those plays. You know, we just got to go out there and make those plays. And like I keep saying, we're just going to continue to get better and better each week. You know, everybody says it's a young team, which is true. But, you know, with each week and with each game, you know, we continue to get better. And, it's just a testament, you know, the last two games, you know, we had a lot of turnovers last week. You know, we've made some plays at the end of the game to try to, you know, make everything, you know, good for us. So, you know, it's just a tough road we're on, but we're going to be good on it.
So, all right, I'm going to ask you the toughest question that nobody seems to be able to answer. What is the key to stopping the run, in your opinion? obviously you're a safety, you're not a defensive tackle or coordinator, but in your opinion, what is the key to being able to stop the run up the middle?
I think just everybody playing that technique, you know, 100% in full speed. You know, defense is about gaps and fits, and, you know, you have everybody in their gap and everybody playing full speed and tackling. You know, that's the biggest thing to stopping the run, and it's really, you know, as simple as that.
Well, when we watch it for, you know, you see the big sweep going outside,
mm-hmm.
and everybody's in their gaps, but then all of a sudden there's this big separation. So is it possible to technically be in your gap, but still give up a play?
But, I mean, that's what I say.
Theoretically?
That's what I say. You know, you gotta have, you know, you can't, you know, exclude the physicalness and,
right. You
know, the speed with the game, too, and just become the football player. You know, if you're in your gap, you just can't be satisfied being in your gap. You got to, you know, shed the blocker and make the play. So, you know, it's three things, you know, that comes with it. So each and every play, you know, a guy got to just, you know, make it up in his mind he's going to beat the man in front of him.
Another question. New rule. Suspension now for the helmet-to-helmet contact. You're a guy that plays in a position where, obviously, that's a big part of your game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you think about all that?
You know, it's a physical game. You know, I'm pretty sure everybody who gets fined or every player that makes a, you know, illegal hit on the next player, he's not intentionally, you know, trying to, you know, injure that man or, you know, try to, you know, hurt him in any way. But, you know, it's a physical game, and, you know, you have a lot of grown men running full speed, and it's hard to, you know, aim 1 inch from the right or 1 inch to the left, you know, running full speed, you know, on a 100-yard field. So, you know, it's, you know, suspension, you know, the NFL, you know, has suspended. They're trying to protect, you know, protect players. And, you know, I appreciate that and everything. But at the same time, you know, it's hard for us players to try to go out there and play physical and play, you know, with a chip on our shoulder and play like, you know, the football the way it's supposed to be played, you know, trying to, you know, dodge people's heads or, you know, miss people's heads. So, you know, it's tough.
Do you think you can even control that when a guy's jumping up in the air and you're coming full speed? I mean, do you have the opportunity to control it?
I think you can control it if you slow down and, you know, tackle him in his legs or knees or, you know, stomach. But if you're trying to make a, you know, a good clean tackle, you know, at the same time, if you're close enough to make the tackle, but at the same time, if you're close enough to make the play on the ball, you know, it's tough to try to make the play on the ball and then, like, at the last second, go tackle a man in his chest. You know, you really don't have that much control over your body. So, you know, it's tough, but, it's a rule, and we have to go by it.
Have you been fined before for hits?
Oh, yeah, I've been fined in the past. It's been like a year and a half, 2 years before I got fined. So, hopefully I don't have any more. And that's a lot of money coming out of individual's pocket.
Have you knocked yourself out in the process of? It seems like every week now there's somebody unconscious. You know, we watched a guy get carted off yesterday, and not in the Bucs game, but in another one that we were watching a replay of.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it seems like it's more consistent now, where every week somebody's getting knocked unconscious.
Well,
and the defensive guys are knocking themselves out.
Yeah, I mean, it's a physical game. You know, I wish we had.
So the answer is no. You haven't knocked.
No, I haven't. Yeah. Thank the Lord, I haven't. But you know. I had a good tackling coach, Willie Martinez, in college that taught us how to tackle, you know, with our chest instead of our head. So, you know, that kind of helped me out with the fines and not be able to get knocked out. So I just try to go out there and be physical and, you know, make plays on the ball.
Have you ever knocked out your own teammate? The old friendly fire?
Not really technically knocked them out, but
everybody would complain. And the reason I asked, everybody would complain that John Lynch would, you know, come up and blow up his own guy. So I'm asking, I mean, have you ever – hurt your own guys?
Yeah, I had a few complaints of hitting some of my own teammates in the back. You know, I had one from Run Day last week in Atlanta, as a matter of fact. But, you know, everybody understands it all comes with the program. So, you know, it's a physical game. We got to go out there, you know, and try to win games any way possible.
How about quarterback hits? You ever get fined for hitting a quarterback helmet to helmet?
Yeah, I got a fine, you know, in Baltimore a couple of years back, but I appealed and won the appeal, so.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Did it work for you?
Yeah, it worked out for me, so, you know.
Well, you know, I was one of the player reps for the union when I was playing, and the big thing was trying to find better helmets to protect guys better. But what they don't understand is if you're protecting a guy getting hit, all it's doing is turning the guy hitting into a human missile because he's not – I mean, when guys didn't have face masks,
mm-hmm.
they didn't go running into face first.
Right.
Am I wrong?
That's right. with the leather helmets.
Exactly. Nobody can go run. You know, listen, guys are tough guys, but then again, you know, pain is still your guide.
Yeah.
So obviously, the better the equipment, the more of a human missile you can turn yourself into. So if you even get better with the equipment, the hits are even going to get better. All right, we got to go back to the phones. We got a number of guys waiting. We have Ben in Clearwater.
Hello, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to ask Sean, because now he has played in a market like Philadelphia, and everyone knows Philadelphia fans and their intensity, and they pack the stadium. So my question to Sean, some thoughts on but the fact that the Buccaneers have been playing so well together, with a sparse home crowd. I was wondering if he felt that, is he looking forward to, I'm sure he is, but if he feels that playing at home in front of a packed stadium, would that affect the team's intensity or even take it even to an even higher level as opposed to how it is now?
I think definitely, you know, a packed stadium for us as a home team is, you know, definitely a 12th man. It's definitely advantageous for us. You know, with, you know, the crowd yelling and our opposing team can't hear the calls or can't hear anything. It's just, you know, the intensity of a crowd always makes, you know, home team players play that much better. So, you know, I love the fans that's coming out there that have supported us, you know, our first, you know, couple games at home. But, you know, a packed house would be great, you know. And, you know, just keep in mind, you know, the quarterback from the other team, he's trying to communicate. He's trying to make calls, and, you know, with a packed house, it's hard to do that. So, fans, come on out. You know, support us. We're going to go out there and give you a great show each and every home game.
Yeah, I think sometimes coaches even underestimate, you know, how difficult it is to communicate. You know, I was a tight end. I was on the end of the line of scrimmage. I couldn't hear anything, you know. And obviously that played a part when the Bucs got down, you know, right there at the end with that fourth down. I mean, of course they're going to be laid off the ball. They can't hear.
Right.
You know, it's a problem. But at home, when it gets loud, you guys on defense have to be able to communicate as well. Does that become difficult?
It can be difficult, you know, if you don't communicate well during the week in practice and prepare well, you know, during the week in practice. So, you know, all those questions and answers need to be answered during the week. So when you come out there,
you can throw it into a hand signal.
Yeah, you just throw it to a hand signal, and we all on the same page, you know, making plays.
I remember on offense being at home, and when they first – they didn't get the rhythm of the cannon right away in the new stadium. And every time we got in the red zone, I remember Trent Dilfer would throw his hands up. He couldn't even call the play in the huddle. So they've become a lot more efficient with that anyway. All right, back to the phones. We have Lawrence in Ellington.
Hey, guys. How you all doing?
Good. How you
doing? I first want to say I know Raheem – preaches stats are for losers, and I'll tell you, as for yesterday's game, I'm a firm believer because Atlanta had like 26 first downs and pulled most of the clock, all this stuff, and you came within 1 yard of being a W in a hostile environment against a great team. But my question, especially for Sean, is I noticed on one play, I don't know why, I just focused in on you for some reason on that one play, and you're way in the backfield, and normally, I know when a blitz is called, most of the guys run up to the line of scrimmage, but you were like on the other side of the field, way in the backfield, and you started running. You came all the way across the line of scrimmage. And I can't remember who the runner was, maybe Turner. But you tackled him, and I thought, man, that was a phenomenal play. I'm sure you could recall that. But anyway, I'm just wondering, was that play designed for you to be in the backfield and then run up or something, or did you just, you know, see the way the play developed or something?
Yeah, the way it unfolded, you know, Coach, you know, caught a blitz up the middle.
Smack.
Yeah, smack.
We learned that today.
And, you know, it opened up wide for me, and I just wanted to, you know, go back in the backfield, you know, and take advantage of the opportunity that I was given, and, you know, I was able to make the tackle, and it was a big play for us.
Okay, we're going to take another break, and we'll come back with Sean Jones on the Total Access Show. Let me give you the phone numbers one more time. Hillsborough, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll-free, 800-546-4620. And 800-596-BUCKS-2827. This is the Buccaneer Radio Network.
Midwest Total Access continues on 620 WDAE and US 1035. Here again is your host, Dave Moore.
Welcome back to the Total Access Show. My guest tonight, Sean Jones. Now, you came here as a free agent, but before we get back to the phones, you know, we knew, and obviously you knew coming in, you had a young football team. You know, how much of a leadership role were you asked by Raheem and company when you came in? I mean, are you a verbal guy in the locker room? Or are you more of a quiet guy that leads by example?
Yeah, I try to lead by example. Just, you know, go out there and work hard each and every day in practice and just, you know, let it all out in the game. You know, I can, you know, to each team is different. You know, we have Run Day as our, you know, our vocal leader. We have Bear Ruhr as our vocal leader. We have Quincy Black as our vocal leaders. So, you know, we have a lot of guys, you know, with good leadership on this team, is, you know, despite being a young team. So I think that's very important for any team on any level.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, how important is that when you have young guys? Is it better to have leaders by example? But it sounds like you guys have both, huh?
Yeah, I think we definitely have both. You know, we have guys, like I said, like Rondé and myself. You know, you have guys like, you know, quietly, but, you know, Sabby, he goes to work each and every day. You know, he's playing well on special teams. You know, Cody Grimm's been doing a great job. So we have a lot of guys that's going out there and just, you know, playing hard and trying to get, you know, the most out of each and every day and each and every play.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. We have Kyle in Tampa. You're on with Sean Jones.
Hey, man. Thanks for taking my call, guys. I want to know if you feel like the relationship between a younger coach is a little bit better than maybe an older guy, like a Wade Phillips or something. Maybe it's your honest opinion on that. Thanks for taking my call.
What do you think? Your opinion about a younger coach, is that an advantage, a disadvantage?
You know, I had, you know, a great experience with all my coaches in the NFL. You know,
well, who did you have in Cleveland first?
Romeo Crennel. You know,
yeah, he's a guy that's been around a long time.
Yeah, he's been around, you know, a long time. You know, we had a great relationship. He had a great relationship with his team, and so did, you know, Andy Reid. But, you know, Raheem, you know, just that age gap is so, you know, small with us. You know, he's able to relate to us, you know, with, you know, playing the game not too many years ago. So I think Raheem and the rest of this young coaching staff we have is, you know, a great thing for us, for a young team.
But you think that's an advantage?
I think so, definitely.
Yeah, when I played, I was actually older than he was. I used to bust his chops all the time. If you want to join us on the phones, Hillsboro, phone numbers 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll free, 800-546-4620 and 800-596-BUCKS-2827. So you're a guy that's from Atlanta, Georgia, or outside of. Did you have a lot of people at the game this past week?
Yeah, I had a lot of people at the game. You know, I had my nieces and nephews and brothers and, you know, mom. You know, everybody was there, you know, rooting me on. You know, it's fun always going back home playing, you know, playing football, you know, looking at the Falcons, you know, what you look
at. How many tickets you have to get?
I didn't have to get too many this year. I only got like 10 this year, so it wasn't too bad. But, you know, like I said, growing up in front of the Falcons, you know, looking at those guys play football, wish you could be a professional athlete, and then going home and playing against them. You know, it was a treat.
Now, they your favorite team growing up, the Falcons?
It was between the Falcons and the Cowboys.
And the Cowboys?
Yeah, I had an older brother who loved the Cowboys, so I kind of, you know, pigtailed off of him.
Yeah. Now, you got your Georgia sweatshirt on. Coming out of high school, did you have other places you wanted to go, or did you know you wanted to play right there?
I know I definitely didn't want to go to Georgia Tech. No, yeah. That's right there in Atlanta. I just never liked Georgia Tech for some reason. You know, growing up, I always liked the Bulldogs in Texas. And being that Georgia was right down the road from me, you know, it was the obvious choice. I used to sing, you know, I'm a little Bulldog chants growing up, you know, in ninth grade, 10th grade. So I always knew I was going to be a Bulldog.
Now, did you get recruited somewhere else?
Yeah, I got recruited by most of the SEC schools, yeah. You know, like Florida. You know, Florida State, ACC school, Clemson, you know, all the really schools in the South. You know, a couple of schools up north, like Notre Dame, recruited me. But, you know, I always knew I was going to be a dog, though.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Other sports? Did you play other sports?
Yeah, I played basketball and baseball in high school. We won the state championship in 11th grade in basketball, 33-0.
Oh, yeah.
State record.
Did you get recruited to play basketball? State record?
State record. Still standing? Yes. The ones next to
what
us.
What position were you?
Two guard.
Yeah, could you dunk in high school?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Dunking in ninth grade.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, me too, ninth grade. I wish I can you still dunk?
Yeah, I could dunk.
Yeah.
You want to put a little wager on it? Nah, let's not do that.
What'd you run your 40 in at the combine?
I
ask everybody that. Mine was so bad, that's why I ask everybody else.
I didn't run at the combine, but my pro day, I ran like a high 4.4.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Damn. You're a big guy. How much you weigh?
215.
215? Yeah. 6'1"?
Yeah, like 6'1", 6'2". Some days 6'2".
Man, I think Shannon Sharp might have been your weight at some point in time playing tight end. A lot bigger than they used to be, you know? So you get drafted 2004 to Cleveland. How was your experience in Cleveland?
It was a good experience, you know. At first, it was kind of hard getting used to it, you know, 10 feet of snow growing up in Atlanta. You know, I'm not used to the cold weather and snow, but, you know, it was a lot of great tradition there. You know, I got to meet, you know, great guys like Romeo Crennel and, you know, Jim Brown, you know, great tradition there in Cleveland. You know, unfortunately, we didn't win a lot of games up there, but, you know, we had a few seasons where, you know, we were pretty, you know, productive. So, you know, it was a lot of great times up there in Cleveland.
Yeah. Well, what about fishing? We were talking a little bit off the air. We like to fish.
Yeah, I like to fish.
Freshwater guy?
Yeah, more of a freshwater guy. You know, bass, crappie, you know, bream. Like down here, you know, this saltwater game, I am a rookie. The fish.
Yeah, have you been out at all?
I've been out, you know, not really fishing. I went to the Florida Keys for one of my friend's wedding. It was chartered, so I was kind of cheating. But, you know, now by myself, you know, with some friends going out. So I'm definitely going to hop on you and Nico's boat or wherever y'all go.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to tag along with you guys and go out there with you.
We have Bear Root out there. All he did was grunt. We caught a big Goliath grouper. All he did was grunt the whole time. And I think Nico, in a matter of 4 minutes, threw out every swear word known to man. It was pretty interesting. Yeah, we have it on video. We need to get them going. But, okay, a lot of young guys on his defense. And, you know, let's talk a little bit about, like, you mentioned that Cody's playing pretty good. You know, obviously the caller talks about Tanard Jackson and say, you know, obviously that's a big loss. But Cody comes in, and Rondé had said that, you know, he had some of the best natural football instincts that he's been around. You know, how much do you do with this free safety and you're the strong safety? Is there a lot of stuff you guys do together, coordinate?
Yeah, we do. You know, we do a lot of stuff. We're still learning each other. You know, this defense, you know, like everybody keeps saying, it's a young defense. So it's a lot of new parts and new positions on our defense. And we are learning each other. It's still a learning curve. And Cody, he doesn't play like a rookie. You know, he goes out there and play like a, you know, a vested guy that's been, you know, in this league a couple of years. He makes play after play, and it started back in OTAs. You know, was out there in the hot summer, you know, working out. You know, it started back then. So he's been doing it for a while, and he's just going to continue to get better.
What about some of these defensive linemen? You know, Brian Price obviously lost for the season. But what do you see in McCoy? You know, you've been around long enough to know who's talented and who's not.
Oh, yeah. You know, McCoy, you know, he's so explosive off the ball, you know. Any center or guard, you know, in front of him, nobody can block him one-on-one. And, you know, just with the pressure of the young guys coming up, you know, we're just going to continue to get better. Like I said, just continue to get better. And, you know, we're all hungry in the locker room. You know, it was funny, after watching that game today in Atlanta, you know, we all want to go strap it up right now just to go play. You know, we want to go out there and, you know, just make those plays that we could have made. We made a lot of plays, but, you know, we want to make those extra plays, you know, that could be the different changes in the game. So, you know, we're all excited about this opportunity that's coming up.
I think one of the most exciting things to see is the fact that you guys, you know, you haven't played your best ball yet, but yet you're 5-3, you've won a lot of games. And, I mean, there's so much room for improvement. So what kind of encouragement does that give you guys?
They give us a lot, you know. And it just, you know, it tells that, you know, a young team wants to get better. You know, usually you have a team that, you know, has been struggling in the past. You know, they have a couple wins. You know, they kind of get complacent. But, you know, even on our off week and in our off days, you have guys here lifting weights, working out, you know, in the film room, watching film, just trying to get better, you know. And, you know, I love that. You know, we're just going to try to, you know, continue to do that and just, you know, follow, you know, Raheem's lead and just keep going.
Now, how much film do you watch? Are you a guy that watches a lot of film? I mean, some guys like it more than others, obviously, but – You got to watch a lot of film.
Yeah, you have to watch film, you know, on this level. You know, it's, guys are so fast and so strong. You know, you have to try to get an edge, you know, whatever way possible to get an edge on your opponent.
The fair advantage.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, film study is very important in this league. And, you know, some guys like to watch film here at the building. You know, other guys like myself, I'd rather watch it at home, you know, in the comfort of my own home. So whatever way it works, you know, works for me.
Well, I did the same thing. I watched it. I still do now to get ready to do the mm-hmm. games on the radio. I get the same film that you guys get.
Yeah.
You know, as players, and, you know, how much do you watch with your coaches? And the reason I ask is, you know, we talk every week, and the guys that have been around for a long time say they spend so much time studying their opponent.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked earlier about what your keys were. You look at the tight end and you look at, you know, obviously things that they can tell you. Is that what you watch, or do you watch overall formations, things like that? What kind of stuff do you watch?
You know, I think typically in the beginning of the week, you know, you try to look at their run game, and we just try to get, you know, a base D, you know, to stop their major plays that, you know, been hurting opponents in the past. And, you know, our coaches do.
That's what you do as a group, right?
As a group, yeah. Our coaches do a good job of, you know, making sure we know what we're doing first before you can, you know, go out there and stop an opponent. You have to know what you're doing. So we do a good job of, walking through on Wednesday and just, you know, getting a good grasp of what our game plan is so we can fly around, you know, on Sunday. And, you know, when you go home and take the film home, you know, that is you, you know, as an individual self going home and, you know, breaking down, like I said before, the tight ends or running backs or your run keys, just to see, you know, how you react to different plays.
Yeah, this is part of being a professional. Now, how about on the other side of the ball? You've seen a lot of receivers, a lot of good quarterbacks. Talk about some of the things these young receivers have been able to do.
Oh, they've been spectacular for us. You know, whenever you have a guy that can stretch the field, you know, and a young guy, and then you have another one with, you know, being – then you have another one with Mike Williams, and you just have, you know, a lot of talent on the offensive side of the ball. You know, you have a young leader, you know, with number five going out there and making those big plays each and every week, you know, bringing the team back from in the fourth quarter. You know, it's awesome to see that. And, you know, on that side of the ball, they just want to get better too. So it's definitely, you know, it's getting contagious around here. We want to go out there and just go out there and try to win each and every ball game we play.
Now, how far has he come picking up the blitz? I mean, we saw early in the year, they were blitzing him all out. You guys call it bonsai. It's just bottom line, you're bringing more guys or they're bringing more guys mm-hmm. than the Bucs can block. I mean, it seems like he's making big strides. I mean, is that something they work on all the time in practice or,
yeah, you know, definitely
picking up that blitz?
Yeah, I think he's made, you know, tremendous strides. He used his big frame and big body very well. You know, he steps up in the pocket. And, you know, keeps his eyes downfield and, you know, kind of brush the defenders away. And he does that very well. And then, you know, if everything breaks down, you know, he still run. He's an athlete back there. So, Joshua is doing a great job. And we just want to continue to, you know, just get him better and better. And we're going to, you know, follow behind his footsteps.
I tell you, he has the best – he throws the best deep ball out of any quarterback I've seen in a Tampa uniform, and I've caught a lot of balls from a lot of different quarterbacks. Okay, we're going to take another break. We're going to come back with Sean Jones and talk a little bit about Carolina Panthers on the Total Access Show. This is the Buccaneer Radio Network.
Listening to Buccaneers Total Access. This is 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.
Welcome back. We're finishing up with Sean Jones and previewing the Carolina Panthers. You guys had the opportunity to play them already. Got a big win on the road. You know, this is a game going in. You guys are looking at like, you know, you should win this game. Obviously, you haven't watched a lot of film, but you know, what are you foreseeing this week?
You know, I play our kind of ball. You know, we want to go out there, you know, and stop the run. First of all, you know, they have two great running backs that can, you know, split defenses wide open. You know, they have a good receiver out there that can, you know, stretch the field downfield. So we definitely want to go out there and stop the run first, and, you know, so we can get some pressure on the quarterback and just get off the field on third down, you know, which we couldn't do last week. But, you know, like I said, we're going to get that corrected this week.
Now, after playing them the first time, what did you guys take away from that game that you think, you know, maybe can help you now?
Just what I said, you know, last time, you know, they had a couple, you know, big runs against us, but for the most part, you know, we kind of shut their run down and, you know, made them one dimension.
Second half, right?
In the second half.
You came out and really shut it down. And what different did you do in the second half? I'm not sure if you can remember, but what was the key to doing that?
I think, you know, anytime you have a good defense, you have a good tackling defense, you know, you have a great guy, you know, 11 guys flying to the ball, making tackles and, you know, causing havoc to the guys carrying the ball. So we just need guys flying around, you know, in their gaps, you know, making plays and, you know, trying to get the ball out. And if we do that, you know, and create turnovers, I think we'll be successful.
Well, we're not sure who the quarterback's going to be, whether it's going to be Tony Pike or Jimmy Clausen. It's hard to say. Jeff Ryan's trying to give me a little information. Two quarterbacks on a roster. We'll take a look at them this week and decide who gives us the best chance to win. So that's officially from the Carolina Panthers. They're going to use two guys this week and try to figure out who's going to help them. They also have two running backs that are beat up. Stewart and Williams are both beat up. And that's something that's kind of creeping in on you guys. You had Mike Williams that played the other day that was a little beat up. How much of a disadvantage was it having that bye week early in the season?
You know, you definitely want to have a bye week a little later in the season, but, you know, those are the cards you're dealt. So, you know, you can't do nothing about it except for, you know, take care of your body and just go out there and just stay in the cold tub and just continue to, you know, take care of your body and be a pro, you know, as far as that concerned. So, we're going to continue doing that. You know, I'm going to try to myself with the rest of the older guys on the squad, you know, we need, you know, just continue to tell the young guys just to continue to take care of their body and just keep everything right.
Yeah, the older you get, the more you have to take care of your body. How do you feel physically? You feel pretty good?
Yeah, I feel okay right now.
I saw you come flying up and make a big tackle on Michael Turner there to stop a touchdown at some point. Yeah, talking on the radio.
My body's feeling pretty, you know, it's okay right now.
For this time of year?
Yeah, I think, you know, as the season go along, I start getting better and better, you know, just competing more and just getting better and better. You know, that's just my mentality. Try to get better than you were yesterday, so – you know, as the season goes along, you know, I'm looking forward to doing, you know, bigger and better things.
Well, November, December is when you guys have to find a way to play your best football. And, you know, you have an opportunity now with Carolina coming to town. And then you got two more road games.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of things are you looking to try to get done here in the next couple weeks to put yourself in, you know, position to be successful for a playoff run? I mean, talk defense first, really.
You know, defense, we have Carolina this week. You know, it's our next opponent. We really can't worry about who they have down the road as of right now. You know, Carolina's one of those teams that can, you know, play great football and, you know, beat you. So, you know, we have to go take care of Carolina first this Sunday coming up. And we'll worry about, you know, the rest of the schedule when it comes. But, you know, Raheem gave us a goal of winning 10 games. We call it a race of 10. And that's the only thing we're focused on is the next game. So, you know, we're going to get Carolina next week.
And the offense, we say it every week, they want to run the football. How important is that for them to eat up some clock and keep you guys fresh? How hard is that when you guys have to come out, you know, after a three and out? Does it make a big difference?
Yeah, you know, it's tough, you know, when you're on the field a long time as a defense. You know, that's why it's very important for us to get off on third down so we can get, you know, rested up, get those big guys up front rested up so we can go out there, you know, and try to shut down the offense again. So, you know, definitely we want to keep our offense on the field at all times and just, you know, continue to try to get better. And, you know, we got Carolina next week. It's going to be a big game for us.
Yeah, even though I want you to talk past that. I like it. I like you staying right with Carolina. Special teams, you know, obviously you're only on punt team. Do we got a fake punt in for you?
I'm not sure.
You can't tell me.
Coach Rick would be very upset with me if I gave him information. But, you know, we haven't. They're all working on that right now as we speak. So we're definitely, you know, excited about this opportunity coming up. And we want to get another win.
What about blitzes? We've seen you a little more in the last couple of weeks. Are we going to see you on some more blitzes?
You know, personally, I hope so. For me, you know, for myself. But, you know, it is what it is.
Well, thanks, Sean. I appreciate you taking the time to come in. Thank you to all the callers who called in tonight. And we'll be back next week on a Total Access show at 6 p.m. This is the Buccaneer Radio Network. Good night.
You've been-
been listening to Buccaneers Total Access on 620 WDAE and US 103.5, the home of Buccaneers football.